Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is NRL Boom Rookies.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Boom Rookies presented by ESPN Live from Las Vegas. My name is Matt Bungard and with me today, Grace Moore. Hello.
I think Las Vegas has won. If you can hear my voice right now, Las Vegas is up, unfortunately. But
a great day.
I'm here for the podcast. Anything for the Boom Rookies.
A great day, a great spectacle.
Really? Because you seemed pretty upset yesterday. You didn't seem like you're having much fun about halfway through the game.
Yeah, okay. Well, it was more about 55 minutes into the game. But yeah, we'll get onto that in a second. We'll talk about the games shortly. First of all, I want to talk about the experience as a whole. As someone who hasn't been to a footy game in a few years, given that you've been over here, what were your impressions like of the crowd? Just how many people were there and how many rugby league fans were there?
Well, I guess I didn't really know what to expect, especially even talking to some of the NRL people and some of the, you know, the Nine people as well, the media guys. Like, I don't think anyone really knew how big it was going to be. Then I got to Vegas, and the first place I go, I see like three Bunnies jerseys. Kind of gave me a bit of PTSD from being back in Sydney and seeing those South Sydney flops running around.
And sitting in front of poker machines as well.
Yeah, with no teeth. It did feel like I was at South Leagues. But then getting to the game, seeing, as we spoke about yesterday, every single jersey in the competition was there, including South Queensland Crushers.
We saw Western Reds.
We saw pretty much everything. And it was
Gold Coast Seagulls, all the origin, both origin teams,
Australia,
New Zealand.
All the greats.
Yeah, all the big ones.
But the vibe was there. Yeah. And it felt like it was a big day. Like, I wouldn't say, kind of like even like a grand final day. Like that vibe where it's like, yeah, my team's not playing, but I'm here to kind of celebrate football.
Yeah, definitely. I think you nailed it there because, yeah, as you said, we walked through the crowd. We played a little game trying to count as many jerseys as we could. We found all 17 between arriving to the stadium at about 4:30 and probably by 5:30, we'd say.
It was pretty quick. It usually takes longer than that.
Yeah, Sharks were the 17th one, if anyone's interested. They were the last name of the bingo card. But anyway, yeah, it was awesome to see everybody there. I thought the crowd really got behind it. They said that it was the number quoted for the attendance was about double that of what they, slightly more than double what they said was the number of travelling Australians. I am curious to see what that split truly is because, I mean, we spoke to a fair few people last night and bar like a couple, most of the people we spoke to last night were Australians, whether they lived here or not.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ring-ins like me who live over here now and we're like, oh, something Australian's happening, I'm going to come over. And then I think a majority of the Americans were probably people who had an Australian friend who was like, hey, come to this thing with me. Come.
Yeah, well, that was the boys that were with us, right? Yeah, there was like one or two guys that knew the game, and then the other guys were their work colleagues.
And you mostly spent half your time explaining to them the rules.
I thought we did a pretty good job of using NFL terms to make it understand.
They're all just like the running back. It's a lateral pass.
Yep, all laterals, all the time. A try is a touchdown. Yeah, et cetera.
Americans aren't that smart, but they got there eventually.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought it was a great spectacle. Unfortunately, for some, South.
How good is seeing your team win in Vegas?
You're such a prick.
How good is seeing your team win in Vegas? That's a feeling that I don't think I've experienced before. Maybe won't experience again. It's a once in a lifetime type of thing to see your team that you go for, that you've followed your whole life, winning in Las Vegas. Like, that was wild.
Yeah, I'm really happy for you. Yeah, South looked fantastic for the first 50 or so minutes of that game. Latrell Mitchell came to play. Damian Cook, I thought, was fantastic. And then it just seemed like, as was so often the case last year, they had this little 10-minute stretch where error, try, error, try, error, try in a space of like nothing. And then you looked up and Manly were suddenly ahead by double figures.
Yeah, I will say, you know, I know you like some tea on this podcast. Little whispers that I heard was that the Manly team came in nice and early, got all the Vegas fun out of the way, and then were locked in. And maybe the Rabbits, you know, enjoyed being in America. And maybe that's what happened, you know, about 60 minutes in, all of a sudden the tide kind of changed. But your boys look good the first, you know, two-thirds of the game.
Yeah.
You can take a lot of positives. Jack Whiten out too, so, you know, you get him back, and then all of a sudden I think you guys might have put it on him a little bit. But I think Manly looked really good.
I agree. I mean, a great win for the team of the podcast, the Manly Seagulls.
This is starting off well for the team. Maybe this is – and Luke Brooks looking good too. I think that try, you could see kind of – I think he felt that try.
Yeah. You know? He felt the energy coming from the Boom Rookies universe.
I think so. He knew that you guys are supporting him. He needed to do something big for all the Patreon subscribers who were there. There was a lot.
Yeah, we met a couple. Boston Panther was there. TB was there. Saw a few other people as well. But yeah, I thought Manly's backline was terrific. They really made a point early on to spread the ball as much as possible. Like, there was a lot of discussion before the game about the width of the field being slightly reduced from what it normally is and how that might make things a bit cozier, but they didn't seem to get the memo on that because they were spreading the ball early and often. I think they did a shift on, I think, their first, like, South kicked the ball away after their first set of the game, and Manly immediately shifted down the left and made a break, and I think came within about a metre of scoring a try on the end of that first set, and just gashed them out wide all night long. I thought that Garrick, Cooler, DCE working his magic, and of course Tommy Turbo, I thought they were all sensational.
There's so bloody many Turbos now. You know, I disappeared to America for a few years. All of a sudden, they found this long-lost brother. Where'd he come from? Half the team's bloody Turbos.
There's actually a fourth one.
There's a fourth one?
But he doesn't play footy.
Oh, really? Oh, what does he do? Is he an accountant or something?
Maybe. I'll find out.
I do need to know what the fourth Turbo brother does.
Campo will definitely know. We'll find out. But yeah, I thought Tom especially was tremendous. And Manly's forwards stood up to the test. I think that yardage battle wasn't really won by a convincing manner. On either side, I think it was pretty even. And as a result, Manly were just able to shift the ball a little bit better. They were able to get the ball out wide to their star players a little bit more effectively, which is odd because I thought that Latrell was possibly South's best player. I thought he had a really good game, and it didn't seem to matter. I think, obviously, no Campbell Graham, no Jack Whiten hurts them, but this is 2024. This is not the year we make excuses for South's anymore. They still had plenty of cattle on that field to get that job done. And, you know, when you're up by two scores with 25 minutes to go, you should not end up losing by double digits yourself. So, I mean, again, I'm just super concerned about what's to come for this team.
I'm super excited to see. Hopefully it continues. But can we, on Tommy Turbo, let's drop a name, because I love dropping names. We were up in the suite. We have some connections with Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver. He seemed pretty impressed at, you know, the long range kicks and Tommy Turbo bringing the ball back. Like, you know, these are basically punt returns, and this how well he did it, and then would get up and keep playing. Like, it wasn't just like, you know, you did this big run back and then that's you done for 25 minutes. Like,
yeah,
it was just consistent.
Like, obviously we've seen all the content that the NRL's done with, like, NFL players reacting and stuff, but it was pretty funny to have an actual NFL player sitting next to us actually live reacting to, like, all the stuff that was happening. And I think at one point he was like, I was like, mate, do you reckon you could give this sport a go? And he was like, man, I just don't know about the amount of work they're doing. That was his thing. That was his main takeaway, was the fact that they play both sides of the ball and that there's no, as you said, they don't have 25 minutes off for a rest after they make a big play.
But looking at him, I'm pretty sure if he grew up, I asked him, hey man, if you want to take a pay cut, I'm sure like any of these teams will have you. Didn't seem that interested in taking the slight pay cut to come down, you know, go and play for the Rabbits or something.
He was a nice guy, because obviously left the Raiders, plays for Jacksonville now. His eyes lit up when I mentioned Adam Gotsis as well, because there is randomly an Aussie guy on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I think there's a token Aussie almost on every team.
But it's funny, because he's like one of the two or three that isn't a punter. He's a defensive lineman, so like an actual football player.
Wow.
Yeah.
Him and Melata, like holding strong.
And
the guy from
the Ravens, Daniel Falei, who's like kind of a backup lineman, who's the tallest guy in the NFL.
He's
6'10" and he weighs 180 kilos.
That's good for him.
Yeah, a large lad. But Manly too good. I think maybe people have underestimated. I mean, look, I think whenever anyone talks about Manly's prospects for an upcoming season, it all comes with the caveat of if Tom Tavoyevich is healthy. So I don't know if last night massively changes my opinion on them just because of the fact that he played. He played the whole game and he looked great. And if he and this has always been the case with Manly, right? Like, if he stays on the field for the whole season, they can make some noise.
Unless they need to get the fourth Turbo, bring him out, give him a go.
Yeah, maybe they could source like ligaments and stuff from him when one of the other brothers.
I think that's the best. And then talk to the parents, maybe get a fifth one going. I know they might be a bit older now, but I think we need some more Turbos in the coming up for them.
God, imagine like 17 of them.
That's a full team.
Rabs is so happy he retired. On to the second game, your beloved Sydney Roosters with, I thought, a really convincing win over the Broncos. What were your takeaways from that?
I was super nervous, mostly because I think the Broncos looked so good last year. And obviously, I think a lot of the boys coming and playing in Vegas, you could kind of see the excitement, like especially with some of the tries that they scored, like being able to score a try in an NFL stadium. Because I think a lot of NRL players really do look up to the NFL and NFL players. That was kind of exciting. But I think the Roosters came out and then just straight away kind of just like put it on them. And I think I had an argument with some bloke in the suite about taking the 2 points.
You did.
For an early penalty. Turns out it worked out. I was correct. But he had a good point that the Roosters were putting so much pressure on the Broncos, they probably should have had more points going into the half, to be honest. But yeah, they came out and they won. And I'm not going to complain because my team got a win in Vegas, which is such an incredible feeling. Like, I could gamble this weekend and win, and I don't think it would feel that good. Do you know? Oh, you wouldn't know what that feels like. Sorry, brother.
I think we had a pretty good day, South aside. I think the whole day from start to finish was pretty great. But yeah, Roosters looked like a team that, if they can just keep it all together, they can make some. I thought Victor Radley was sensational.
As always, like, he just has that vibe where he's going to turn up and play footy no matter what. He put that really good hit on, but then South scored straight after, kind of took a bit of the fire out. And I thought, also think Teddy, because, you know, there was some flop in the suite, same bloke talking about Teddy and he's done and all that. Then Teddy's flying around, catching our own dropouts. He's flying all over the place. Like, I think he had a great game.
Yeah, he was awesome as well. Manu, like, all the guys turned up for the Roosters. I think that, they can be very proud of their performance. I will say that, I mean, of course, the only thing that's marring this is the Spencer Lenu Ezra Mayhem incident, which we're not really going to go into. If everyone's not seen the story, there's a claim in front of the match review committee that Spencer Lenu levelled a racial slur at Ezra Mayhem. So not great. That's not great.
Not great, but I think they handled it really well in the sense that, you know, Adam G just kind of said, look, I haven't heard it. That's totally not on, you know, super disrespectful. We're going to put on a report and we're going to deal with it later, which I think is kind of the best way to do it. But you could see there was a bit of fire in between the boys, and I think there was a bit of back and forth. Maybe it went too far. I'm not too sure. I don't think I've heard anything, so we'll kind of leave that to the match review committee.
Absolutely.
But I don't want it to...
Other than that, though,
it's fantastic. A frustration sometimes, though. Obviously, it's a horrible situation, but we have this incredible weekend in Vegas, 40,000 people there. This is like NRL in America, finally, and like, unfortunately, there's... As always, we thought it was going to be the boys on the drink.
Yep.
So, but there's always a story that kind of mars, like, hey, this incredible thing. I'd like to, you know, as much as we can, also focus on, hey, this incredible thing just happened. You know, 40,000 people for the NRL. It sucks that something kind of happened on the field that takes away from that.
Yeah, but yeah, Roosters very good. Terrell May again, really good off the bench. A guy that's really come on in leaps and bounds for them in the back half of last year, and now in round one this year. So you've got to feel good about the Roosters' prospects now going forward.
Very much so, because I think the Roosters were always a slow starting team. You know, the last few years, we have the best team on paper, but then it takes us, last year was what, 10, 12 weeks before they started firing?
Yeah, I mean, they only got into the eight, I think, right at the end of the year.
And it's like, hey, come on, guys, can we just do this from the start? And I think they did that. And then watching a lot of, I don't know if people have seen like their YouTube content, a lot of the teams for Vegas put up some great little mini doc, almost UFC style stuff. Roosters looked like they were super locked in, and for them to come out round one and do that, that's a great sign, hopefully, for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I think for sure, mate. And now I think the NRL's done it pretty smartly with the schedule. All the Magic Round teams, all the Vegas Round teams now go on and play each other in the next 2 weeks. So you get Manly next week and then South the week after. So everyone gets the same.
Round three. Don't know if I can fly back to Sydney for it, but
I've worked out that the
Fox Sports guy told me how I can watch the NRL now.
Yeah,
so I can actually watch it. That worked out well.
That was funny. He's literally got the head of Fox showing you the Watch NRL app on his phone, like scrolling through all the features.
You know, he uses
that's
it.
That's a guy that's committed to the, that's a company man.
And he sold it. He sold one, and that's why he's so rich, because he's selling to idiots like me who still don't know how to watch it in America.
Yeah, but that we should mention that quickly. I mean, the UFC, that knockout we saw from Stevie Urchek, unbelievable.
Fire. And it was great to have, like, it was so funny how quiet it is in the Apex Center.
Because if people don't know, the UFC has certain... They have like a obligation to show X many cards a year on TV. And so sometimes if the card they don't think is going to be particularly good, it'll be at their Apex Center, which is their like training ground here in Vegas with it, like a relative... Like it was probably 100 people in there?
Maybe about that. So it's a very quiet atmosphere.
But great card though.
So when the Aussies come out, all of a sudden you hear the Aussies in the crowd jumping up. And you... I think you got to tell your listeners who we saw, because I think you told everyone in Vegas last night at some stage.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So at one point, one of the fighters is leaving and he gets a photo with a guy sitting in the media tribute in front of us. And you're like, is that Tom Hardy? I'm like, oh. Yeah, just Tom Hardy. And then we got a photo with
very
him.
Unassuming man, very considering his stature.
Honestly, yeah, a lot smaller man than I would have thought. Just watching
Tom, if you're listening, I know you are on the Patreon. Just letting you know, Matt said that because he's a bit of a tough bloke. I don't know if I want to take on Tom
definitely,
Hardy.
No, God, no. I just like, you see him
bit of
Batman
an everyday man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But then, yeah, we got that amazing knockout, and it is funny. You can kind of tell when people are Australian because, like, we're just louder and brasher at sporting events.
And
like,
also finding the BMX rider right in front of us.
Ah, Willie. Yeah.
We didn't know who he was
at
the time.
Not our will, but then one of your mates messaged and said, the best BMX rider in the world sitting in front of you as well.
And I was like, when I saw the Monster Energy hat backwards and the
Nitro
Circus
like,
hat,
I'm like,
yeah, dude, this makes sense. I've seen a lot of you like on a night out at Oatley Pub or something. There's usually one BMX bloke who's hanging around.
Yeah, but that was fun. I do love that, like, because we're hooting and hollering and like the Americans kind of just didn't know what to do. They're all kind of just like, oh.
I think they're upset because we were smashing their boys. It was us, the Aussies and the Dagestanis were the big winners
the
on the night, I think. And they're on the Surinamese.
Biggie boy,
Rosenstruck. What a putting it on him and then getting him to like basically give up. And we were part of it. I think we were part of the group.
Suriname, the flag is red and green. I had my South jersey on. Grayson had his Roosters jersey on. So like we were sitting with like, I think it was like his family or something. Right?
Yeah.
And so like they're waving the flags and stuff. And they're like, oh, you got a Suriname jersey on. I'm like, yeah, sure. And we're just cheering for Biggie.
And I think that's the Aussie in us. It doesn't matter. Like, we don't have a horse in the race, but we'll jump in and cheer for who.
But if a large lad's going to come out and his mates are going to chant Biggie boy, we're all in.
Yeah. Did it remind you of high school a little bit? Was that okay?
All right, mate.
Sorry, we don't want to go back. That bit of PTSD.
Such a prick. But overall, I'd say that the main takeaway that I got from a lot of people about the week in general is that more people are going to come next year.
Oh, so many people would have looked at the fun that was being had and gone, oh, I really wish I did that. And, you know, the flight to Vegas or this type of air isn't too bad. You know, you're not going to East Coast or anything. So I think if they do this again, I think they would say this is a huge
success.
They've
got a five-year deal. So they're locked in until 2028 or whatever it is.
I think you get a bigger audience. And I think you do start seeing that American audience coming in as well where they, oh, I heard this was really good last year.
Yeah, maybe.
And hopefully, you know,
if you're traveling,
maybe you can get 45, 50,000 next year.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I do say that with also acknowledging that just how loud it was last night anyway with 38,000 or whatever it was.
There. Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily like, because I think it was such a mixed crowd with the different teams, obviously, but it was just like in between when the songs were on and things like that, the whole crowd singing and cheering and just having a good time.
I was having a good time for most of it.
Yeah, and then you had a bit of a tantrum in the bathroom.
None of that.
And then
happens.
You came back and you were feeling okay. You got it out of your system.
Well, I can't just allow you to.
I can't believe I've been going for this team for so long and they still do this to me. That was said.
Yeah, but that was like a joke that we put on the Instagram story. Like, you know, I do ham this stuff up a bit, right? Like,
I don't know. I didn't see
ever,
any.
Have you ever had an experience playing a character?
No, never. None? Nothing like that. No.
Okay, maybe I'll give you some tips.
Yeah, please help me out.
All right. Thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
And from the rudest Roosters fan I know to the nicest, for the last interview of the week, Josh Brandon, welcome.
G'day, how are you?
Mate, not as good as you, obviously. A fantastic win for your boys last night. We'll get into the game in a second. But first of all, you had quite the night afterwards.
I certainly did, thanks to some of my friends who work for the club and the friendships I've made along the way. We were invited down to the sheds to share beers with the boys and talk to the coach and everyone, and my dad was there, and it was just couldn't beat that experience.
It's been a whirlwind few weeks for you. Like, you had the whole team at your house when they were in their training camp, and then that story got out, and they did a big thing on it. So now it's no longer my little story to tell people. Oh, I've got a mate who sneaks all the Roosters players' names into now everybody knows.
Yeah, I've gone national. I guess it was in the Herald, and then they talked about it on NRL 360, somebody told me.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, but that is awesome, mate. So you are, of course, if people are unaware, if you're a new listener, Josh is a film and TV producer / writer / director / a million other things, but has lived in Los Angeles for how many years now?
16.
Yeah, so still loves his rugby league, still comes home regularly to watch his beloved Roosters, but of course, with the first ever game in America, you had to be here.
Had to be here, no question. We built an entire trip around knowing they were coming, and I took some time off work, and everybody knew that I was kind of unavailable for a few days because I was at training and, you know, having social events with the team and really just getting to be an insider, which was incredible.
Yeah, mate. I mean, I'm stoked for you. I'm stoked that you had such a good week. And in terms of the vibe itself, what have you made of it? Because you've been here, I think you got here the day after I did. So you were down there on Fremont Street on Thursday night. We saw all that stuff. Talked about it with some other guests. But what was your... I guess that would have been the first time since you got here that you would have been like, oh wow, there are a lot more rugby league fans here than I thought.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed. I think as far as the NRL concerned, I don't think it could have gone any better. I mean, we'll see if anybody got up to any incidents last night after the game. But 40,000
at time of recording, it is 11:40 a.m. local time in Las Vegas. So I haven't heard any atrocities yet.
No, haven't heard anything yet. So fingers crossed they were all well behaved then. And I'm sure they had a good time last night, but probably didn't do anything too scandalous.
Yeah, no, I would hope not. In terms of the game itself, we'll start with Souths. I thought that Manly really took the game to them out wide. I thought that they were happy to throw the ball around a little bit, and it certainly paid dividends. And I think that Souths should be extremely concerned once again with sort of this fragility that's become associated with them over the back half of last year and now this week.
Yeah, look, it's easy to say they were missing some players, and they were.
I mean, no excuses, 2024.
Yeah, fair enough. But I was just going to say, when you're starting a 28-year-old debutant on the wing. Yeah, no, it's true. And that's the kind of depth you need to build if you don't have it. I think you're right. I think they hung with them at the beginning. I think there was some individual displays of brilliance, but you need the whole team to be cohesive. I've got to tell you, though, as somebody who was mostly neutral in that game, it was a great spectacle. I think it was everything the NRL could have hoped for.
Yeah, I was surprised how willing Manly were to go wide so often, because the whole chat before the game during the week was about the narrowness of the field.
And I think that was something that happened a lot in the second game. But yeah, in the first game, they threw it around like it was a regular field, like they had space to work with. And I think Brooks being on the left was very successful for Manly. They just looked relaxed out there.
Yep, Luke Brooks scoring against Souths never gets old. He dominated us for years at the Tigers, even when he wasn't playing well. And he looks like he's just going to pick up where he left off at Manly. So that's great. But yeah, I think they looked really sharp. I think that as long as, and again, this is usually the caveat, but as long as Tom Dvojevic is there, I think this team is might be a little bit better than we thought.
Yeah, I think so. I'm loath to admit that because I don't think much of Anthony Seibold as a coach. Mm. But they were looking very sharp, and Souths a little skittish.
Thought Latrell was really good, though.
He was, but I guess what happens, it's so interesting because Latrell can be rattled, but usually if he makes a mistake, he bounces back in a big way, and that's what he did after he threw the intercept.
Yeah, throws the intercept, then scores a try, sets up another one. So I wasn't too concerned with him. I thought Damien Cook was really good. But yeah, just those issues on those edges, just still so obvious to me, and I just don't know how you fix it. I understand that their first choice centers coming back will probably help fix that, but you know, these are still professional footy players. These are still elite athletes. These are still guys that should be capable of defending a single bloody goal line set, not just rolling over every single time Manly got up there, pretty much.
Yeah, look, if that had been my team, I'd be a little concerned, because even with the players missing, the whole idea is that you design a structure, you design a system, everybody should know it and can fit into it. But I don't know, maybe they just hadn't played enough together during training or during trials.
Maybe. Again, you're being so nice. You're giving us so many outs, but I'm not going to be taking them this year. I think me and people in general maybe held them to we made too many excuses for them last year, and I think this year I don't care who gets hurt. I don't care. This team is full of world class players. There's so many good players on that team.
True.
And again, they just look, it just one thing goes wrong and it snowballs, and I don't know why this keeps happening. I don't know.
Yeah, and it is a bit of a worry, because you kind of get the impression that they're just running it back from last year. Like, oh, okay, we screwed up towards the end because of some internal problems, but maybe those internal problems were related to attitude and not just who's on the coaching staff.
Maybe, mate. I mean, we have no way of knowing for sure, but there has to be something to it. Like, why is this team that was so dominant for so long suddenly just so eager to wilt the moment there's a skerrick of adversity in a game? I just can't wrap my head around it.
No. Me either.
Yeah, I think I don't know what they're going to change, but I was thinking that, you know, I'm not a superstitious man, but I am
a little. You're a little stitious.
I am a little stitious. I don't believe in jinxes or curses or any of that stuff, but it's undeniable at this point that when I grew a mustache, Souths were the best team in rugby league, and they have been close to the worst team in rugby league performance wise. Since I grew the mustache. The mustache has quite a high approval rate among my friends and family, and especially my wife, who does like it, but
always important that
always
the wife
well
likes
I wouldn't
it.
Yeah, but you know, she'd like me just as much without it. So what do you think? Do I have to get rid of it to motivate the boys?
If they find out about it, yes. Now Latrell's seen your mustache and had a little play with it. So I think you have to go directly to him and say, I think this is a jinx. I will shave it if you think that'll help.
Okay. I think I might have to do it. Might have to strongly consider it.
Yep, I would. Again, a little stitious.
Yeah, just a little bit. But yeah, mate, we got to do something. Something's got to change. This is just...
I like how, though, you really believe partially that you can carry this entire team just on...
I mean, again, I'm not a jinx guy. I'm not a curse guy. But, like, I do also...
But your upper lip may...
Yeah, I mean, no, we're obviously taking the piss a little bit here. But, like, God, I'll try anything at this point. I'll try anything. I mean, I still claim about 10% of the credit for Corey Allen's Origin career. So... maybe I could claim 5% of South's success if
you know. And since you grew that moustache, he's suffered a season-ending injury too.
Yeah, it's not. It's the wider Matt Barnard rugby league universe that's suffering as a whole. Maybe the moustache is too powerful. Maybe it's got to go.
That's a lot of power on one lip.
Yeah, it really is. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a strong lip. Used to with all these tears I've had to hold back watching South in the last.
Look, they could come good in round two. You don't know. We don't know. Maybe their preparation was interrupted. There's just no way of knowing. I think you've got to give them a couple of rounds.
They get to go up to Suncorp and play the Broncos. Fantastic.
Oh, that's right.
That'll go well. And then the Roosters at Allianz. Great.
There is a world in which we're 3-0, and you guys are 0-3. Yep. But it doesn't usually work out that way.
No, I guess. But you know, it seems like we're hurtling towards it.
That's the spirit, Matt.
God, I don't say negative because like the week itself has been outstanding. Like every other aspect of the week, we've had a great time. Met a lot of people that we, like, you know, tangentially, you know, in the rugby league sphere and outside of it. Just had a great week. Every night we've gone out, done fun things. Yesterday the game was great. Going to the fights beforehand was great. Just South losing, but
yeah, it's a long, long flight home if you lose. And I was thinking about that last night, and that's why I'm so grateful that we won, but also that we had the second game because there was no time to celebrate after the first. They had a TV schedule.
Yeah, and the flip side of that is I couldn't really enjoy just watching Roosters Broncos as much as I would have liked to because, you know, because I was still a bit annoyed at what I just watched. But
yeah, that makes total sense.
What the hell are we doing?
This is the risky run when it's a competition.
Yeah,
someone's got to win.
That is how it works. Someone has to lose. The Roosters didn't lose, though.
No, they didn't, and the bookies had us losing, so that was nice.
Yeah,
and most of
that.
The experts tipped Brisbane, so that was very exciting. And it's good to see the Roosters start strong for a change. That was a big thing they talked about in the preseason, that they just can't afford any of these slow starts anymore.
Yep. A friend of the show, Reece, said, oh, Bungard's had 43 guests on this week, and they all picked the Roosters. And I'm like, well, maybe they were onto
something.
So maybe
you guys have the experts.
Yeah, maybe you should just listen to them.
How many people picked Manly?
None. Oh, no, a few, actually. Off the top of my head, two? I think two?
Right.
I think Roasty picked Manly. Neil might have. I can't remember. I'm not sure. Maybe Scotty did because he's a Manly fan. I don't know. I'm happy for Scott, at least. But
sure.
Yeah. Anyway, back to your game. Really physical. Really good contest. I thought that the Roosters forward pack definitely stood up to Brisbane's.
I agree. And gritty is the word that I use to describe it. I think there was a reason that you saw so many forwards on the bench for the Roosters. They knew they were going to have to go through the middle and match it with Brisbane. And I think they really did. They really took it to them. And the glowing example of that for me was just seeing Sam Walker actually manage to tackle Payne Haas. There was something in him where he went, I've got to do this. I've got to do this, because he was running at him all night. And, you know, with a little help from his friends, he did bring him down.
Yeah, absolutely. Who were the standouts for you?
I thought Victor Radley was out of his skin.
Yeah.
Tremendous game, particularly in defense. Just the way he flattened opponents, and he didn't do anything that could have got him in trouble. And then he was there backing up and scored the final try. I thought he had a terrific game. Tedesco was excellent.
He was awesome.
Kiri was great. I mean, it's hard to point to anyone who had a bad game, to be perfectly honest.
Terramay,
everybody
again,
did their job.
Really good off the bench.
Really good, yeah. And you can see why. I was heartbroken for Angus Crichton, because I think he's such a good player, that he got left out of the team. But clearly they just wanted the biggest guys they could. That's why they had Nafua White as there as
Bring
well.
Me the large Nafahu, sorry. Lads.
Yeah, exactly right.
And of course, the only negative really is the Spencer Lenu incident.
Yeah, I'm standing by to hear more about that. If it's true, he needs to learn that lesson. You can't do that. That's completely unacceptable. I'm hoping that it's a miscommunication, but I guess we'll see.
And obviously it's terrible, but as Grayson and I touched on earlier, it is also just a damn shame that like we nearly got through the whole week without anything bad happening.
Yep.
We were so close.
Yeah, there's no question. As I say, it's still an allegation, but Ezra seemed pretty sure of it, and we'll see. He's made an official complaint, and now we wait. But as I say, if it turns out Spencer did say that, he needs to apologize. He needs to learn why you can't do that and why that's not acceptable at our club or any club.
Yep, absolutely. Well said. Brisbane, I just thought they were a little bit flat.
I think they were just relying on, oh, throw the ball to Reese, he'll know what to do.
Mm.
I thought Reynolds had a pretty quiet game.
Mm.
His kicking game was a little bit off. Now, granted, they weren't allowed to have a captain's run on the stadium.
No, the home team's got the captain's runs on the stadium.
Right, so yeah. That probably played a part, and I guess that's the one home field advantage we got out of taking a game overseas.
Yeah.
But yeah, they looked a little bit as if they just thought, oh, if we just show up and play the way we usually do, then we'll be fine because we're really, really good. And perhaps they underestimated the Roosters.
And they are really good. Like, no one's arguing that. I mean,
when they're on fire, they're on fire.
It is only one game. We're trying not to overreact too much to this. Like, these teams, obviously, the, you know, one of South or Brisbane has to win next week. So,
yep.
But there's one of them has to lose. So,
that's very true.
That is how it works.
In these two team games, one usually comes out on top.
Slow down, egghead. But, any particularly any moments in the game that really stood out for you that really sort of made you happy to be there as a Roosters fan?
There was a moment early on when Sam Walker kicked and it was taken by Reece Walsh, and Victor Radley just timed his run so perfectly that within about half a second of Reece Walsh catching the ball, Radley had him flattened on the ground. And I thought that just sent such a great message to the whole team on, this is how we're going to play, boys. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to be up in their face. We're going to do it correctly. So I just thought that set the tone. I think that was within the first few minutes.
Yeah, and he, Joey Marnie was great as well. That was my one silver lining, was that he won't be there next year.
That's probably true, yes.
But I thought the atmosphere, the games, the quality of games was a lot higher than I thought it was going to be. I thought we had a very open and expansive first game, and then, as you said, a very gritty and tough second game. Really contrasting styles, but both, I think, high quality matches. I think that you've got to be happy if you're the NRL and Fox and whoever.
I think they'd be thrilled. Yeah. And 40,000. That was,
well, I
saw more
two
than
different numbers.
For.
One was 38.5. One was 40.
Yeah, I think it was clarified later because some people showed up for the second
game.
Oh,
okay. Imagine coming. I assume that's like locals who got free tickets or something, right?
Probably.
They just swanned in. Because, like, imagine coming halfway across the world, do a
and
double header,
watch one game,
and just be like, nah, not asked for that first game.
I suspect you're right. I think it was locals. And also, the weather was shocking.
Well, that's
getting
the thing.
In.
So, people won't be able to tell watching the game because, of course, the game is inside a dome. But they had this big, the only negative from a sort of event planning point of view for the whole week, because they've nailed everything, in my opinion. The only downside, and this is not their fault, they had a big fan fest planned for outside the stadium for the three and a half hours before the game, and then the wind was so bad that they had to can it. And if you, I'm not exaggerating, the wind has been awful.
Yeah, the hotels were actually shaking.
Yeah,
that's how windy
it was. One of the hotels here has a roller coaster, and they closed the roller coaster because it was too windy. My hat blew off my head, Josh. I had to chase it down the street
Mine too.
Yeah.
They said it's the strongest winds they've had in 100 years.
Really? Okay.
In this part of
Yeah, like I was getting weather warnings on my phone. So that's how windy it was. So it's a shame that didn't get off the ground. But of course, once we got everyone inside the stadium, I just thought it was great.
The Americans really know how to do their sport.
Oh my God.
Day experience. I mean, we're catching up a little bit in some of the newer stadiums, but everything from the interstitial music to just how loud everything was, the drum line at halftime, they turned on a show for us.
Yeah, they really did. And so I think it's definitely been a success. What do you think?
I think it's been a huge success. I think you're really going to see in the next couple of years whether it can sustain it, because most of the crowd was Australians, and a lot of them may come next year if there are different teams. But then where do you go around year three or four? You've got to get a local audience.
Yeah, for sure. The only way you don't is if it just becomes a pilgrimage thing, as I've said in a couple of shows this week. But I think it was good. There was enough stuff. Like there was the UFC on yesterday. I know that fans couldn't go, but they had the combine thing that was on. There's NASCAR on today. There's the Nadal Alcaraz tennis matches on today.
That's right. The Netflix Open or whatever they're calling it.
I was considering going, but it's just, I don't know. We'll just go to Fremont Street and play roulette instead.
That's the best place to do it.
Man, Fremont Street.
Nice and cheap. Oh, yeah. You've got to do the spin, right?
We did it.
Oh, you did it.
We just discussed Manly, the team of the pod.
You discussed that with me?
I thought so.
No, I don't.
I think I mentioned it. Oh, I must have been with Grayson. Yeah, no, we did it on Friday night.
Oh, okay. So Manly. All right. Yeah. That's going to be weird.
I don't like... Well, they played great, though.
They did, I know. But there's so much to like and dislike about Manly at the same time.
Correct.
Like, interesting combination.
And that is actually true. Because I really like DCE. I really like Ruben Garrick. I still believe in Luke Brooks. Tommy's obviously on his day just an unbelievable player.
But yeah, I like the players. It's the coaches and the owners.
But then the
weird
flip side of that is the ownership, the coach, the pride stuff. All that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So there's pros and cons, but I guess there's pros and cons with every team.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I was going to say regarding the teams and the experience, it was almost like a Key and Peele sketch giving those names to the American announcer, because he hadn't learned how to pronounce the names, and he did his best with some of them. But I thought at one point he'd been given a pronunciation guide until he got to Richie Kinnear.
Richie Kinnear. I thought,
okay, this is going to get interesting. And then he got to Hamoleolokoatu.
I mean, it's just, that's kind of just saying it slowly, though.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily wrong. It's just
that's
like
true.
Saying it really slowly.
But it was kind of, it was almost a setup for him to get some of the easy names, and then he must have been going down the sheet going, oh my God, how do I pronounce some of these names?
So he saw Luke Brooks and did a fist pump. Like, yes.
Dan Smith.
BYU.
BYU. Luke Brooks, Manly Sea Eagles.
Yeah, an unbelievable skit. But yeah, what a fantastic week it's been from top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it could have gone any better. Obviously, with you, it could have gone better. But generally for the NRL, I don't think they could have asked for any more.
I mean, yeah, you can't hinge your enjoyment levels on a trip like this on whether your team wins or loses. Obviously, it's nice.
You kind of can.
You can, but like, you know,
it'd be pretty miserable if after everything I'd been through with the Roosters, if they were to have lost.
Yeah, but you know, there's always next week, mate.
Yeah, next week for you. I don't live in Australia. It was a big deal for me.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I was quietly rooting for the Roosters last night. I told you that. So
yeah,
mainly because I wanted you to be happy, because you'd, you know.
I do appreciate that. It's very kind of you.
Yeah. Also, the Broncos fans getting a bit mouthy.
Yeah, they are getting a little
arrogant,
full of themselves.
Getting a bit out of line. And back in your box.
Well, I don't know if Fletcher Baker actually said that the Roosters are a bully team, but it was a good way to fire up both bases, I think.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a fiery game. It really was. Really enjoyed it. But I think that's it. You got anything to promote before we get out of here?
Yeah, go buy my book if you haven't already.
Yeah, you should. Boldly Go. It's
Boldly
great.
Go with William Shatner. Or rather, Boldly Go by William Shatner with me.
Would you like me to buy it a second time?
No, that's okay. I appreciate you buying it the first time.
Okay, that's all right, of course. All right, before we get out of here, quick thank you to the people on our Patreon subscription service. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/NRLBoomRookies. You get access to our Discord server, a third show every single week. Merch discounts, entry into the Coltrane Cup, which even though we've had games, you can still, if you're a patron in the next few days and you join, you can still tip for round one.
Just have you announced your tip yet?
No.
Okay.
It'll be next week, so... you can obviously you can't tip Manly or the Roosters, but you can tip any of the games that haven't come yet. So thank you to Dave, Michael, 47 Texters, Murray, Stu, Adam Small, Ashley and Martin, Broncos legend, Adam Reynolds, Bruce the Pom, Butsy, Carlingford Lion, Coltrane, Tipper, Chewbacca Snuffleupagus, Dan Callanane, David, an anonymous backer, Ed Burton. Eloping in Vegas with Trellmitt is the finest thing a person can do. In fact, future Clive Churchill medalist Keon Kalamatangi, Iversang Booerns, Jason Joe, Joel Wrigley, John, Josh Brandon, Kicks House out of the comp, Lachlan Hancock, Luke Charles Smidmore, Mads, Taylor's version, Manly are no longer the team of the pod. They are, though. They are. Matthew Duggan, Matt, the Quackers were asking for it, Bungard, Mr. Beefy, Morgan Watkins, my name is Nick Campton, and rugby union is my favourite type of rugby. My ding ding dong is hard and I'm sad, never trendy. Nick Kodjic lives on my street, I'm subliminally coaching him to run it straight. Oh, what about that? Send him off, send the dirty, get off, get him off the field. That were diabolical. Pasco Biden 2024, 4Mike78, Reese Brown, Roxanne Clark, see you in Vegas, Shunter, sometimes even the great Rodrigo Eduardo, forgets to change his name, T2T, give me the fucking ball, the black vegetable Thor, Tom Hardy, Was, and Westlife Podcast, West Tigers are back, baby. Thank you so much for your support to everyone in the lower tiers and to everyone who just listens. Thank you as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you got a little mention there.
I did.
Yeah.
That's because I paid for that.
That's right.
That's how
money
works.
Can be exchanged for goods and service.
Explain how.
Yeah.
All right, we could be here for a lot longer if we keep going down that road.
We can't just gratuitously quote Simpsons quotes for now. We could. But we should probably stop recording first.
I agree.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, thank you to everyone who's listened this week. It's been a great trip. Hopefully, Campo's here next year as well. But thank you to everyone who's come on the show, Josh included, for doing a great job coming on, giving us great insight into their weeks here. We tried our best to push the social stuff as well. I got a lot of good feedback on that. So, I think from all points apart from South's winning, I think it's been a pretty successful week for all involved.
Here, here.
All right. Say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye, Josh.
And it's goodbye from me.